Commissioner, I know this may not have been determined yet. Maybe it has, but fans want to know. You understand that better than anyone. How are you going to determine the additional two games for the 14 schools?
Yeah, we've been running any number of models, if you will, in thinking about how that decision can be made. Our athletics directors early in the week suggested let's make the first decision so we can then make the second decision. And that second decision is exactly what the format will look like. I know our colleagues in the ACC were able to put out the matchups quickly, and obviously some different dynamics there. Our two other colleague conferences that made announcements earlier in July took a bit of time to make their announcement. In fact, we're still waiting. So we just want to make sure that we walk through what is a really difficult decision on altering the season, and then we'll work towards finalizing exactly that format and be ready to go, I think, in short order with that information. It gives great conversation on afternoon shows, too, for a while, does it not?
That was SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey on with Paul Feinbaum discussing the potential plans for what the format could look like after the SEC moves to a 10-game conference-only schedule. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad. And to help us talk a little bit more about this, we're going to bring in one of our good friends, David Ubben from The Athletic. David, what's going on, my man? Thanks for joining us.
Not much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, David, what's your immediate reaction to the SEC announcing that they're moving to a 10-game conference-only schedule?
Hopefully they get to play all 10 games. I mean, this is sort of inevitable, but I think anybody that still thought that a 12-game schedule, especially non-conference, can provide testing issues, some initial safety issues, but most importantly, flexibility was going to be difficult. I mean, this is sort of about, it is about testing, but it is about, hey, when the inevitable, forfeiture of a game happens, let's be able to be nimble. And when it's one conference office sort of running things with ADs and coaches that are familiar with each other, that's going to be easier. Ultimately, I think that's what this is kind of about.
What about the Oklahoma game? David, you wrote, it could be helpful to a rebuilding program. I'm sad about it, mm-hmm. And of course, not that I was especially optimistic it was going to happen anyway, but you wrote about, there is still the potential for this team if things open on September 26th, if the Florida game that right now is scheduled for that day is the game that day for an early statement win. But if this does happen, how does this sort of change the path for this team?
Yeah, I think, obviously, Tennessee's been there pretty recently. They already played, 2014. They came to Norman. I'm not too sad. I covered Oklahoma previously. I've been a lot of time in the Big 12, so I'll be okay. But kind of like I wrote about. I mean, I just think this was probably not the best year to go to Oklahoma. I think when you got a team that can compete for a playoff spot, man, you better play those kinds of games, because you win that game, all of a sudden you got the inside track to the playoff. You lose it, it's not going to hurt you that much, because Oklahoma is probably going to be in the playoff anyway. these are great games for those types of teams to play. They're not great games for a team that's won 8 games and still trying to show progress, because, like I wrote, I think Tennessee's got a roster that's a 9 or 10 win team, but they got a schedule that's going to make it real hard to win 8 games. And if you have a couple injuries and, maybe you don't play well, ball down, bounce your way a couple times, Tennessee could be a much better team and still finish 7-5. The same record they finished a year ago. So that's kind of where they're at. I think, for the sake of college football, it's hard to see, because these are great games. There's a lot of non-conference games that we lost yesterday that were going to be great games. But in Tennessee's case, I think this is just a rough time for that game to be played. But like I said, they scheduled this coming off of the 2016 season when you won 18 games in 2 years. That's the kind of attitude you should have. I think Tennessee could probably do well to beef up their schedule. I mean, you look at it moving forward, they got the return trip to Oklahoma in 2024, and then they got Nebraska in 2026-27. But up until then, I mean, there's not a lot of great games on the docket. They've BYU is that game that they're going to Provo in a couple of years. But it's like Pitt, you know, and then BYU, and there's not a lot of marquee games. But I hope they play some more games like this Oklahoma game in the future.
David, Joe and I have been talking all week since we came back on the air about, you know, just the confidence level that we have in college football getting completed in the fall, or maybe even just started in the fall. And there's so many different elements to consider when you talk about students coming back on campus and, you know, the different responsibilities college students have, you know, the different maybe points of maturity from college students. Where's your confidence level in college football right now that we're going to get games in this fall, and certainly that we're going to get games in the season completed in the fall?
Well, I think there will be some games. I mean, the big question is what happens when the students come back? You know, some schools are going to be online only, but the majority of Power 5 schools are going to be students on campus. You know, how much are players interacting with their fellow students? I think you're going to see some outbreaks on college campuses. It feels completely inevitable. I think if you're drawing up, you know, the worst possible place to prevent the spread of a virus, college campus can be pretty high. You know, 18 to 22-year-olds that are living in close quarters in a lot of cases, many of them feel invincible. You know, they're probably some of the lowest risk group. At this, they're feeling like, well, I'm going to be okay if I get this, which they probably will be, but not everyone will. And so you're going to see probably some high numbers of cases in some places, and that could put the entire season in jeopardy. I mean, it's going to be conference by conference, but if you've got, you know, half the SEC where you got 20 guys that are infected, that's going to be a problem. So I don't doubt that there will be some games played. But you have to kind of limit how many outbreaks are happening on campuses, because if the season shuts down, that's sort of why it's going to happen.
If you were made the commissioner of college football, David, and you had full power right now, would you push forward with this, or would you say, you know what, things could look a lot different with the virus in the spring? We could have this amazing, even though you're going to lose a lot of players who are going to be getting ready for the NFL, you could have this amazing spring of like March Madness and college football and college World Series. If you could just wave the wand and make that decision, what would you do?
I'd pay the players and establish bubbles. That's what I would do. I mean, you can't do a bubble, but that's obviously what you have to do. And I think if you could do some regional bubbles, you know, two or three maybe in the SEC, I think that you could do that. You know, if you did one, you know, in Atlanta or one in Birmingham or something, and folks just stayed there and maybe, you know, went between the bubbles or something along those lines, it would work. But when you have unpaid athletes, you can't do that. And that's where you're at. I think obviously, you know, college football, the entire economic structure is exploitive in a lot of ways. And, you know, this is where we're at. You know, you can't really a lot of the problems and the reasons why college football is going to have such a more difficult time, you know, trying to pull this off compared to the NBA. We'll see what the NFL does. It is a lot of those economic questions. And so, yeah, I mean, the short answer is I think that, you know, it seems like if you're not in America and you're not in a bubble, or if you're not in America, you're in a bubble, you can pull off sports. We've seen that time and time again. But if you're not in a bubble and you're trying to play sports in America where the virus has had some major issues, it's been problematic. And so here's hoping for the best, but we'll see how it goes.
David Ubben from The Athletic on the line with us. And, David, obviously we don't know for sure at this point who the extra opponents for Tennessee are going to be. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that Ole Miss finds their way onto that schedule with Lane Kiffin. How much of a troll do we think Lane Kiffin will be on Twitter the week of the Tennessee game?
I imagine it will be high. I mean, that's going to be how unfortunate would that be if Lane Kiffin finally comes back to Neyland and the fans can't be there?
I know, right?
I mean, that's a cruel twist of fate. But I'm sure he'll make the fans' time online worth it. I'm sure. I think, you know, when all that rumor was happening this week that turned out to not be the case, that they were just going to extend the cross-divisional opponents, The Orgeron Kiffin revenge tour with Ole Miss and LSU sounded pretty fun with, hey, early enrollees, don't go to class. That would have been a storyline, of course. And then, Kiffin, who obviously Tennessee fans have softened on, when you look at we at the Athletic, we mathematically broke down who the fans had emailed and asked for as coach the most during the 2017 coaching search. Number one, Lane Kiffin. So they have softened on him a little bit, but I think revisiting some of those wounds, I think Lane Kiffin is probably the most responsible for Tennessee having three head coaches in three seasons, which sort of put them on this decade-long downward spiral. That would have been fun. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But, I think I wouldn't say that it feels like a pipe dream to have fans at all, but I don't think there's going to be very many, and we'll see. I think it is going to vary from state to state, from city to city, and from week to week, how many fans are anywhere, and whether that's zero, whether that's 15,000, something like that, we'll see. But the idea that, there's still places talking about, oh, we can do half capacity, or, if there's a college football game this year that's played in front of 50,000 people, I just don't buy that. Even if they're allowing that, you really think that you're going to be able to get 50,000 people to come, watch college football? I just don't believe you'll be able to do that. I don't think there's enough people that are willing to roll the dice like that to watch any college football game, whether that's a huge rivalry game or whatever. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't see that happening this year.
Yeah, if Lane Kiffin comes to Neyland Stadium and there's no fans, they should take the best Vol Twitter tweets or something and put them on the seats, or there's got to do
get some mattresses in there. Yeah,
yeah, something like that. David got me on the air fryer, Robbie, and I know you're an air fryer guy. He's getting me on the pellet grill. He likes to weave food into his writing, which I very much appreciate. And talking about the fat that's been cut from the schedule from these SEC teams, I'm going to read a line of David's story. College football is a lot like pulled pork in that even when it's bad, it's still pretty good, which is a reference to the fact that, every game has some appeal. But do you think, David, that a taste of, wow, every single game's important is going to make it harder to go back to what we're used to seeing in the fall?
I think emotionally, I don't think it's going to matter. I think even if the fans want it, I think there's too many incentives from coaches, from athletic administrators, that I don't think this is going to be, a 10-game schedule, within conference play is probably ever going to be a reality. But I think it certainly it's better football. You have, of course, more money staying in-house instead of going to other conferences. But, it's going to be a fun season. There's going to be some Arkansas and Vanderbilt, provided the games get played. But, listen, I watched Tennessee play UTEP a couple years ago, and I've seen them play. The Charlotte game a couple years ago was pretty rough. I've seen some bad games. And no matter how bad those Arkansas and Vanderbilt games are, they're not going to compare to some of those non-conference games I've seen Tennessee play. So this is going to be a weird year, but it's going to be fun. And let's hope that every game gets played and there are no viruses anywhere on college campuses. That'd be fantastic.
Absolutely. David Ubben from The Athletic has been our guest here on Morning Drive. David, thanks so much for taking time to join us, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
When we come back, we're going to get back into a little Preds talk and break down what we saw yesterday from the Stars and look ahead to Arizona as well. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.